All right, guys, man, I'm so excited to talk to you about what's on my mind, something that I was able to be a part of over this last weekend. But to start it off, you know, myself and two other men, we've been in a discipleship program for almost 2 years, actually. And I want to say we began in October 2019 and it culminated September of 2021. And this was a discipleship curriculum based off of Ed Cole's book, Maximized Manhood, who has passed, and that organization is now being led by his son, Paul Cole, and this is the Christian Men's Network. The curriculum itself is majoring in men, and there's a lot to say about it, where men can really open up, because, you know, for one thing, we don't like to open up a lot, but that's the good thing about a small discipleship group, is that you tend to have fellowship, koinonia, with each other, to where you're building a relationship. And in that relationship, you eventually begin to speak about who you were, who you are, who you want to be, your good and bad side, the things that you're wanting to do in life, how you're serving the believed Christian faith, how we're walking that out and or not walking it out at times. But nonetheless, throughout these 2 years, we've been able to share intimate parts about our life, the good or bad, and we've been able to encourage each other throughout this whole time frame. And the organization itself, one of the models is that they rescue men. And it's not in the sense of you're drowning, right? It's not necessarily that. You may not be living up to the standards that you should be, but everything in this curriculum is about challenging you to become a better man. And once again, that's not whether good or bad. It's just taking you from one level of where you are now to the next and continuing to build off of that. And of course, this is all Christ-centered. And I have to say, you know, every book that we have went through has been eye-opening. The way it's structured is, you know, they have four core books, and you have the opportunity to stop there. But if you want to become a commissioned man, you complete five more books for a total of nine. And that is the event that I was part of this past weekend. So they had their annual global summit here in Richardson, Texas. And it was a three-day event, the 4th through the 6th of November. And Friday night is actually the night where those that had completed the curriculum became commissioned men. And this is such a moving experience. I tell you, I experienced this one time before in 2017 when I attended a conference, but I had not yet started the curriculum. And to see how men felt so proud of each other in taking the time to accomplish it, the commitment it took to accomplish such a great thing, and seeing how God has moved in their lives. I may not know the story of every man there at all, but I know if God did it for me, he had to do it for them. So my experience this past weekend was very fulfilling. You know, it was just kind of weird initially for me. And this is how I started seeing things, is that I want to say that Friday, that was an all-day conference. And it seemed like everywhere I was sitting, there was a clear path. And this is what I mean is, you know, they had a few tables in the front, and after that were rows of chairs. And I was sitting in one of those rows. I think it was like the second to the last row, before the media booth. But it seemed like wherever I sat, and mind you, I didn't find a specific seat, I just sat down. But it seemed like from my seat to the platform and or stage was always a clear path. There was never any kind of obstruction. I don't know why. I mean, it started bringing anxiety to me. I'm like, what in the world is happening? And it seemed like every speaker at some point was looking dead at me. They didn't say anything to me, but their eyes connected with me. I'm like, okay, I don't know what's happening. And it started building an anxiety to me. So I ended up sending a message to my wife, letting her know. It was like, babe, something's kind of weird here. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. And I told her that exact thing I'm saying to you right now is, it seems like there was a clear path. And her words, and I'll never forget it, I've written it down. She said, God is opening a path for you. And that's a clear path. And that resonated so much with me that it calmed my spirit. And it allowed me to embrace what God was trying to show me. And let me give you this note here. Many times when we're moving forward in life, God is trying to show us something, but it takes someone else to help us understand the revelation of what is in front of us. And we can't say we know everything God is doing, because we never will know. We will never see everything God is doing. We never will. But we can see the things that He's doing in our lives, how He's operating in our lives, the way He's moving in our lives, the way He's pressing upon His love and His mercy and His spirit and His grace all upon us. Those are tangible things to us. So once my wife spoke to me, I was able to navigate the rest of the day in anticipation of what was going to be a great, grand moment in my life. Now, mind you, I'm 48 years old. And I've accomplished what I would say are great things as a man and as a father. I've been in the U.S. military, that being the U.S. Navy, CV-66. I am a father of, five, a grandfather of nine grandchildren. Those are great things for me. I am married to the most beautiful woman. It's going to be 6 years in March of 2022. Those are great things to say. You know what? You did all right. In that, there are things that we have to do personally for ourselves. And that is what this discipleship was and is, something for me. And as we approached the ceremony for that night, you know, we had to have a little, not dress rehearsal, but a little run through before the program. And I was feeling fine. I was like, all right. And I tell you, when the time for the ceremony came, the spirit was so high, not just, well, one thing, because of worship, the word that was being spoken. And the gentlemen that spoke that night, man, they were awesome. They were awesome. So it was all to the building up of this grand, momentous occasion. And as myself and the other, I want to say it was 13 or 14 men lined up, ready to take our spot, you know, I am just looking out and seeing everybody being encouraged. You know, the lead host, that was Paul Cole, you know, told them, hey, you know, as each man comes across the stage, give them a round of applause. And every time a guy went through, you heard the audience just erupt. And as I went, you know, that was just building me up. You know, I'm like, all right, yeah. And this is the greatest thing about, well, it's one of the greatest things about this commissioning, but it's not the end of it. It's actually the beginning. At the commissioning, those that graduated with honors received swords. And as we as men have grown up, as young boys watching TV, especially when it came to the times of King Arthur or the Knight Crusaders, anything of that realm, there was always a sword that they used to go into battle. There was always a sword that they used to defend the faith. There was always a sword they used to defend those who were weaker. There was always a sword that they used to stand behind. But this is something that was really revealed to me within the week, is that the sword is not just a symbol. Of course, it's a symbol. It represents something, but it's also an extension of who we are. And it's so weird. I was watching a cartoon earlier in the week, and the young man was learning how to use his sword better. And he actually had went to somebody that would be considered his enemy. And, you know, so he tried to hide his identity. At the end of that particular episode, the teacher told him, I already know who you were. I know you are of a particular place that you were actually considered my enemy. But the sword in itself is not relegated to any one person, any one culture, any one understanding. The sword in itself is a representation and or extension of the person that holds it. So yes, I can drop the sword anytime. I can pick up the sword anytime. But in that, who I am is brought through that sword. And as we're each taking our place, we're walking up the steps, standing at the top of the steps, and one at a time, walking across to the middle of the platform to receive our swords. It's almost kind of like being knighted in a way, but we're not kneeling. We're just kind of leaning forward with our hands out to receive the sword. And this is a great part about it. You are being prayed over at that time, and you're being prayed over by generals of the faith. And I have the picture that my wife took at that one particular moment for me that I'm going to frame, that I am being prayed over by generals. And as you know, as I was walking, my wife gave the biggest woohoo. I could always hear my wife's voice. It's very distinctive. And just the honor of receiving that sword and to have hands laid upon me by those that have been forging the way for myself and others alike, just to be there that moment has been so great. So as you know, the ceremony concluded, I came back the next day, and this was the Saturday. And this day this was the last day of the conference, I had a very different perspective. And this is what it is. I am now part of a brotherhood. And I'll say this, it's been a while since I have been part of anything that would be considered a brotherhood. It's been years being removed from high school sports as football. That in itself was a brotherhood. When I was in the U.S. Navy, being around the guys day in and day out, that was a brotherhood. But I haven't had one since until this past Friday night. And as I'm sitting down the next morning at the conference, my outlook is that it's not that my lens or my view is wider. It's now more focused. And let me give you the analogy. There are many of us that were wearing baseball caps because it's a relaxed conference. And I had one on myself. But it seemed that as I'm looking through the lens or the length of the brim of that hat, I have a different view. It's not that I'm just seeing men. I am seeing men that I am a part of in regards to this brotherhood, the organization, this discipleship, this lifelong discipleship. Let me add that. And it was so inspiring. And then to hear the speakers that particular day, who was it? The one I do remember right now is Keith Davis, a former NFL lineman for the New York Giants back in the day. And his topic, I don't want to say topic, his message was centered around filling the gap. And it is so key for us as men that we need to be able to see where the gap is and be able to stand in it, but not just stand in it, but know who we are and having the courage, the ability, the fortitude, the be the bulwark that is the defense for that gap. And I have to say, personally, I am more empowered to stand in the gap. I'm more empowered now to see the gaps in other men's lives, not to expose anything, but to help them fill that gap. And man, I'm sure there's so many more thoughts out there in regards to this for me, but I just wanted to record this and have you receive it, hoping that you find something in it just as well to stay committed to the process. Because I could have dropped out of this program anytime I wanted to, anytime. But I didn't, and this is why, is because I know that I had the tendency, as many people, to start off good, start off very excited with all these ideas, all these directions. Yes, I'm gonna get this done. Man, I'm ready, I'm pumped, I'm gonna get this done. And then unfortunately begin to fade away as each day goes by. So I had to do this for me to say, Selwyn, yes, you can accomplish what you set out to. But guess what the result is? Is now that my wife, my children, my grandchildren now see the same thing, that when you stick with it, there's always going to be a benefit at the end of it. Man, this is so great. To be honest here, transparent, I have at times a big problem with procrastinating, or, you know, many people may not like the word procrastinate, but not getting up and do the things that I need to when I should do it, rather than waiting to the last moment. And it's at times because it doesn't excite me enough, or I'm just lazy. That's probably what it is. It's not procrastination. It's just being lazy. So in that, I have now set for myself, as they were speaking to us on Saturday, it's not about Saturday, it's about Monday. Well, what does that mean? It means that you've received the word, you've received the encouragement, you've received the direction. Now you have to put it in play. You have to make it tangible, get results to it. Don't just take the information or gather it and just hold on to it. Because everything that you have gathered and learned, the knowledge, the wisdom, the information that you now have needs to be put to use. So as I am attending each day of this conference, I am on my phone writing notes on the things that I need to touch, the things that I need to rebuild, getting reacclimated with things that I've kind of lost touch with. Matter of fact, this very episode is the first episode post-commissioning. And so now, me being a commissioned man to minister to men, I need to set the example. And that's what I'm doing by making sure this podcast, this particular episode, is being done, because I said, I committed it to myself that I'm going to make sure that I stay on top of doing this every week. Because success doesn't come overnight. That's just fleeting. Success comes with the consistency and the commitment. And I want to make sure that I'm doing my part, because there's a lot riding on this. There was so much God was ministering to me at this time. And in short, just saying, Selwyn, you can do this. You just need to stick with it. And this is because I'm now a commissioned man. I don't know what God has in store for me, but I know he has great things. I know my name. My name is Selwyn, which means friend of the court. My middle name is Basil, which means kingly, and I love it. So I am to operate in that name. I was telling one of the brothers that attended the event with us that night, he said, Selwyn, man, you're well connected. And I'm like, maybe. But then I went ahead and told him why. It wasn't necessarily about being connected, but understanding what my names, what my name, my first and middle name mean, and operating in that. So if I am friendly, I have to show myself friendly. So that means I have to get out of self, because I am an introvert at times. I like to stay at home, and if everything's here, I am good. But I also do like to be out. I like to shake hands. I like to connect with people. I'd like to have conversation. So that's me being a friend of the court. And in the kingly portion of it, I'm walking with authority and understanding and wisdom and knowledge, so that I can effectively work in my mandate. All right, guys, I hope you have received something from this today. This has been awesome. I'm pumped. I'm ready. Let's do this.